Oh, that was fantastic. Good stuff. How many languages? Oh, I'd love to know how many languages there were represented there. It sounded like about 10, but I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that was very cool. Hey, I see Rachel here, and I see Ella. No, who else did I see here? Yes, Ella was here, yes. Hi, Ella. Nice to see you. Nice to see you, Rachel. Yeah, welcome, everyone. Hey, so, what is Pentecost? Oh, oops, that one there. Not. Let me go back one. How many sides does a... everyone's down there. Square have? Four. Hexagon? Decagon? Yeah. Pentagon. Yeah, so Pentagon 5, Pentecost gives us the idea that 5 might be involved. Well, penta is the Greek word, and it's not about 5, it's about 50. 50 days since Easter Sunday. So it's this day, 50 days after Jesus rose from death to life, that the church throughout history and around the world remembers God again coming to earth, not as a human, but as spirit, present at all times for all people by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Jesus Christ. And so on this particular day of Pentecost that we read about, that we've seen on the screen in the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 2, there's this group of 120 followers or disciples of Jesus. And suddenly, they're meeting together, and suddenly that group became over 3,000. Through the day of Pentecost. And so Pentecost is considered to be the start of the church. Now, how this brand new church is described gives us some ideas about what it looks like to walk with Jesus and to watch over one another with love. It's these two ideas that we are considering using to describe our shared life together here at West, in particular for seeking the mind of Christ together. So, first of all, what might these stories of the church starting at Pentecost tell us about walking in the ways of Jesus? Walking in the ways of Jesus. So, there's three little parts to this. So firstly, the church starting at Pentecost reminds us that it's not all about us. We know that. From a Palestinian perspective, people representing all the languages of the world were present at Pentecost. A clear communication of our shared humanity encountering God's eternal loving kindness for all. We don't get to choose who's in and who's out if we walk in the ways of Jesus. Also, Pentecost teaches us that learning is part and parcel of walking with Jesus. Like how many of us have learnt parts or a whole new language as well. Learning is a part and parcel of walking with Jesus. Jesus calls those who walk with him disciples. Now, that literally means learner. Verses 14 to 36 and 38 to 42 is teaching from Peter in Acts chapter 2. Peter, who'd spent the last 3 years with Jesus, he told them the story of what had happened, that Jesus was sent by God, that he'd acted with power, doing miracles. Jesus was handed over to the authorities, unjustly sentenced to death and killed. He was raised to life, and again, because it was impossible for him to be held in the power of death. Jesus is now at the right hand of God. He's present with us by his Spirit, bringing comfort and conviction, hope and wisdom and peace into our lives. And Jesus is the world's true Lord. So Peter summarizes this teaching up. Peter explained the scriptures and applied it to their lives. He encouraged and challenged them to be a disciple, a learner, walking in the ways of Jesus. Now, since the start of the church, until relatively recently, it's been church leaders who have been people who have had the privilege of education and the ability to read and stuff like that, especially things like Latin and Greek and the Hebrew languages, which the Bible was written in. And with knowledge comes power. But the days of the all-knowing sage on the stage are well and truly gone. There are lots of people who can read and study and think and communicate really clearly. We all learn in a variety of ways from a variety of sources, and thank God for that. Verse 42 says the people were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And it begs the question of us, are we devoted to learning about Jesus and his ways? Now, pastors are not part of Jesus' 12 apostles. Nevertheless, I'm very keen to hear what you're interested in and be of any help in helping find resources that will help learning about Jesus and his ways to continue. And for us here on Sunday mornings, I think it's a really helpful question to regularly ask ourselves. What's one thing I am taking from today's gathering to continue to think on? Remember, it's not about us, but just as we seek to be generous to one another, knowing not everything will be what we want or need from our gathered church experience, hopefully there'll be something for us. And as we pause to reflect on that, then learning and growth can happen. Ooh, we're up to that one there. So the third thing the church starting at Pentecost tells us about walking the ways of Jesus is that when people choose to respond to God's eternal loving kindness, there's repentance. That's a changing of mind, often about who Jesus is and aspects of how life is lived. As verse 41 says in the day of Pentecost, on that day about 3,000 believed Peter's message and were baptized. Now, Bible passages like this, on that day about 3,000 believed in Peter's message and were baptized, they've led to the thinking that baptism is the entry mark into true and real belonging in the life of the church. And that is very much the case for a lot of the church's history. However, there's also some problematic stuff around that view. It's not our act of baptism that causes a relationship with God. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. Something that's already true is expressed outwardly in baptism. That we have accepted God's love and in turn are responding to God's love with a commitment to love Jesus and his radical ways. So just as we can be deeply committed to God and not baptized, we can be deeply committed to a church family and not be an official member. Yet baptism is so important. It's important to Jesus, and it's important to us here at West. It's a helpful marker of a significant decision in our lives and a public aligning of our lives to God's radical kingdom life. Now, this is why Baptists have traditionally only baptized adults, mainly because of this commitment to radical, costly discipleship. It's a decision that shapes and affects the rest of our lives, like the decision to marry, but bigger and harder. In undergoing baptism, the disciple passes symbolically through death to life, giving up the life they now have, dying to self, rising to Christ. So if you think that's something you want to explore more or feel some sort of nudge in your spirit about, I'd love to have a chat with you about that. So those are some of the things Pentecost shows us are important about walking in the ways of Jesus. That it's not about us, God's love's for all. It's learning as part of being a disciple of Jesus, and baptism is a great response when we become convinced of Jesus' ways. So the second part of this sermon is asking the question, what might the church... Hey guys, nice to see you. What might the church, starting at Pentecost, tell us about watching over one another with love? That's our second proposed covenant partnership statement. Watching over one another, a commitment to watching over one another with love. Well, firstly, so again, three little things. Firstly, one of the things Acts chapter 2 tells us over and over again is that the people walking in the ways of Jesus and watching over one another with love, they were regularly meeting together. Verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the Lord's followers were together in one place. Verse 42, they spent time learning from the apostles. They were like family to each other. Verse 44, all the Lord's followers often met together. Verse 46, day after day they met together in the temple. Obviously, it's hard to watch over one another with love if we're not meeting and spending time together. Our times together help us walk with Jesus. And this is all the better when more people are involved. This instantly makes me think of all the people that help make these sort of times together happen. And I think especially of our curators and our preachers who give up so much time to help us walk with Jesus and watch over one another with love. Having lots of people involved helps the sense of belonging and ownership of what's happening. It helps us with learning, as we sometimes have to think through how we're actually leading. I think that's a real privilege of being a pastor. You have to think through stuff a lot more because you're trying to communicate stuff. And it helps the faith family as a variety of perspectives and approaches are brought when more people are involved. And with creativity, with the sharing of load, there's more time to think and be a bit more creative. It helps share the load as well. So regularly meeting together. Pentecost shows us that sharing generosity and trust are markers of watching over one another with love. Verse 44 says, all the Lord's followers often met together and they shared everything they had. And this makes me think of the wonderful generosity that you have, that we have as a church in our regular committed financial giving. But it's not just about that. And Pentecost shows us that, as verses 46 and 47 tell us, they broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely whilst praising God. So spending time together is what builds friendships, right? It's pretty hard to build friendships when we're not spending time together. It's what builds trust. It's what brings meaningfulness into our lives. This doesn't have to be having people over for a meal every week. Though if you're gifted like that, go for it, of course. But rather it's about time together, whatever that looks like. And with a focus, maybe, within that, of what God is doing. What's God doing in our world, in our communities, in our lives? Pentecost is about the birth of the church. And whilst the stories about it aren't intended to necessarily be the model or replicated perfectly, because that's not what the Bible is trying to do, we do, however, gain some insights that are helpful for us today as we think about being a church who are committed to walking in the ways of Jesus and watching over one another with love. So, a couple of comments about this process of being covenant partners together. How might things work, or what might things look like if we adopted this language of being covenant partners? Well, I think we'd agree together. We'd have to agree together, work out our covenant partner statements. The drafts have been used quite a bit. They can be tinkered with, of course. These are the words that form the basis of the vertical commitment to God and the horizontal commitment to each other. So that's one thing. When people want to become a covenant partner for the first time, it's being suggested that we'd want people to have been a part of West for at least 6 months, same as what we currently do, and also have a conversation with a person or persons in leadership, like what we currently do, but also participate in a, for lack of a better term, like a short course, but probably just an evening, to discuss and learn more about it and more about what we are about as a church and what that looks like in this context and place. Then each Pentecost Sunday, new covenant partners, along with all existing covenant partners, would share or renew our commitments to God and each other, hopefully in some sort of fun, creative way, and would also sign the covenant partner book as well. That would be part of it. So there's lots of similarities. So whilst this is very similar to what we're already doing, there are some significant changes, particularly in the wording of what we are committing to. In essence, this proposed change is about removing unnecessary barriers to people being involved whilst emphasising the commitments, raising and emphasising those commitments that we're making to God and to one another. So process, just a little comment on the process from here. So these discussions are important that we've been having, and we're going to have very shortly. They're important as the leadership board and I are listening to what you're saying. Please contact us with further thoughts if you have them. We'll be preparing a summary of what we're hearing from you and things that we want to pursue, and maybe some things that we think, oh, yeah, no, as we've heard, we want to change that or ditch that or whatever. And we'll send that out in the next couple of weeks. And then subject to that and any further discussion, we hope to present clear motions for the church to consider, discuss, and potentially decide on before our next church meeting in 4 weeks' time, can you believe? Oh, in July 3, we're going to get back on track post-COVID with how we regularly do our things. So March, July, and November. So if this happens, if we decide to go ahead with this and embrace this stuff and make some changes, then we'll look to have a service probably in August where we'll celebrate, hopefully all of us, becoming covenant partners together. So that's what I have for us this morning, laying out a little bit of what this might look like and a bit more about the process going forward. Really like to just pop this next slide up and just to, again, connect with a couple of people next year, make a little group and have a chat about these following questions. What, if anything, has stood out to you from this morning? In what ways do you see us being like these Pentecost descriptions? What do you like about this covenant partnership idea? What do you dislike or want to know more about these covenant partnership ideas? And what do you think of the process that I've indicated? And then, so we'll chat for a few minutes and then be really good to hear back to everybody, if you know, a couple of things from each group, if you'd like to. Cool, thanks. Quite individualistic language of regular, and I'd include our pledge in that as well, our current pledge, and the individualistic language around that. That would be a barrier. I think some of the prescriptive language in it as well, in terms of this is what we're going to do. I guess there's a contrast to what we're suggesting around it being far more broad in terms of walking with Jesus, in the sense it's not sort of telling us exactly what that means and looks like, but if we are facing towards Jesus, orientated toward Jesus, then we're doing a good thing. We're on the right track. So that would be some of the couple of barriers. Anyone else got a barrier that they want to offer on there?
Just one I was talking about was around that commitment thing. Like, something I've noticed in the volunteer area is that a lot of younger people want to do things in small bursts. And I don't know if that really works in a church context or not, because we'd want people to come continually. But it is just something I've noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, either Sid or Sita mentioned this to me as well, or something similar. That this isn't like a lifetime commitment, in the sense that, you know, people do shift and move and stuff, but for whatever time we are together in this place, then these commitments are something that, you know, we can embrace for whatever length of time that is. Yeah. Mm. Other churches, some other churches have gone down this track as well. That's been hugely positive for them. There is quite a lot of encouragement and teaching from Kerry over the last, I'm tempted to say 10 years, it might not be quite 10 years, around this stuff, and encouraging churches to move in this way. Yep. So that's been a regular feature at National Baptist Hui, and from people like John Tucker, principal of Kerry Baptist College, Andrew Pickard, who's a Baptist Church theologian and systemic theologian. Yeah. Mm. I could name some churches, but yeah, Jill.
I haven't quite put this together in my head yet, but this is a community thing.
Yeah.
However, it's ultimately inviting an individual response,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Knowing that our church embraces diversity, are there boundaries to that diversity that would still make it difficult for some people to, well, not even necessarily, the, well, for people to have an individual response, or for whoever in the church to accept that individual response? Is that too woolly? But do you see what I'm getting at?
I think
are there limits? Are there boundaries to beliefs, approaches, lifestyles, whatever?
I think it's a really, really helpful question, Jill. Thanks, yeah. I think if we were, for example, to all stand up and line up in a do you agree or do you disagree and named 10 different topics, you'd probably, in this church here, we'd probably have people on a range of things as it is. You know, we believe different things, and as we look in Scripture, the apostles and disciples believe different things. We see a shifting and evolving of understanding and faith throughout the Bible. And so, yes, I think there's definitely there's always going to be a diversity of belief. With what we're trying to do here is to say, yes, there is room for that diversity of belief. What's really important, to me at least, and I'm sure to you guys as well, is that Jesus is the focus and centre point, and that ultimate expression of love is that goal and centre point. And so hence the language around walking with Jesus. I think that would be one of the things I'd want to say about that. I don't know if that answers the question. Yeah. Does anyone else have any thoughts or comments on that one? One thing I love about us is that we can hold that different stuff together. You know, we're not all going our different ways and splitting off here, there and everywhere, like you see. So, yeah, I think there's space and there's room. And we gather around the risen Christ. We gathered because of the risen Christ. Yeah. So whilst we're focused on Christ, yeah, it can be expressed in lots of different ways. Well, in a way, yes, but I would also be quick to say that some people don't come to church because of Jesus. Some people become because there's just this interest level, or there's friends, friendship stuff, or there's family members, or there's fellowship and community. So people don't necessarily come because of Jesus. However, That is why we meet. I mean, without Christ, you know, we wouldn't meet, would we? So, yeah, I think for those of us who are committed to being this church family, it's very much centred on Christ, who is at the centre and is the head of the church. Yeah, and so, and beyond that, if our orientation is that way, and if we are walking in that way and embracing what that means, in Christ's teaching, Jesus' life, the person of Jesus, then I think we're on a good path, we're on a good track. What could go wrong? I don't know if that's a helpful response. It is. Exactly. It's a big contrast. Yeah, it is. And that's really where the main difference is, where in the members' pledge there's a lot of, and I'll again say, I've said this a number of times already, but I'll again say, I think you know, for 30 years ago, coming out of a context in which the church started, I think it was a really good members' pledge and a well ahead of its time. And it's a lot better than a lot of churches have now. I'm pretty committed to us engaging with that to improving it, you know, because things change, eh? And people grow, and understanding develops, and yeah, we mature as a church as well, and yeah. There's lots of things in there that are, there's comments, there's things in there that are more prescriptive about what is needed and what that needs to look like. So I guess it's removing some of those barriers, unnecessary barriers. Anyone else got any comments on that one? This is good. We're getting into the nitty gritty stuff. This is great. Yeah.
Many years ago, when I first joined Central Baptist, it was a big thing to become a member, and I had no idea what it was about because I was brought up Brethren, and if they knew who their members were by their commitment sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I had this huge push, become a member, and I'd been there for ages, and I'm doing all sorts of things in the church. And I did not want to become a member. I became a member, a very reluctant member, because I just didn't want that. I thought the commitment was too hard, and I was a bit miffed and annoyed to think that they didn't consider me being part of the church anyway.
Mm. Mm.
When I thought that I was, I thought I was doing a great job, but you know, I had to sign this book. I rang up my father and I said, this push on becoming a member, blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, for goodness sake. He said, if you go to the Rotary Club, you have to sign a book. He said, sign the book and get on with it if that's what you have to do, you know. And I quite honestly can say I don't know why I became a member, what it was about, because it was like a foreign language to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so this new covenant partnership is much more my style, even though you sign a book and that, but I just like the language of the whole thing. So, I'm always on the other foot.
Thanks, Lynn. I think it's something that we want to hold purpose and meaning, and I think with its brevity and simplicity and clarity around what this is about, walking with Jesus, watching over one another with love, that's something that we can have in mind, that we will be regularly focusing on, that points us and keeps us in tune with what this Christian life is about. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Any other comments? It's helpful. Good stuff. Any other groups? Oh, so we had a couple of groups. Anyone else? Okay. Was there a bit of people clear roughly around where we're going from here? I'm gonna feed something back to us around suggestions, hearing these things. If you've got any wording suggestion changes around this draft stuff, please contact me. In the next 2 weeks, I'll be putting something out to the church, trying to capture some of these discussions and comments, and with some proposals of what we adopt for our church meeting in 4 weeks' time. And then obviously we'll have some more time to talk about it then as well and get more feedback and sharpen things up even more. So we want your feedback, want your input, and we'll keep moving at the same time.